Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello! Hello, everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and wow, it has been, yet another week. It's so funny. I mean, it used to be just basically, you know, after the show, Friday through Thursday, you know, there could be weeks where nothing would happen, and I believe that time has now come, and that time is clearly gone, because forget even in the weeks that go by, in moments, there is shifting going on. All right, so let me tell everybody what's going on. All right, Reverend Anthony Farmer is the guest tonight. He has not shown up yet on my switchboard. Anthony's, you know, pretty reliable. He didn't send me anything that says he's not coming on, so I'm going to assume he's going to be here. What I'll do is I'm just going to talk, which I would do normally, and then hopefully he'll show up. And if not, well, we'll play it from there. You know, we'll just figure out what's going on. But you know, this is kind of perfect because I wanted to share very much with you guys an insight that I got this week that is profound. I mean, it's really striking me as profound. So, all right, so let me start. There's a whole story around it. Okay, so in this past week, me and Scott get into a fight. And what is very interesting about the fight is, from my perspective, I was looking at Scott going, how does he not see what I'm talking about? He was not seeing the words I kept saying was, it's like he can't see beyond the nose on his face. And I'm not going to get into details because it's a generic thing. You know, I just prefer, Scott's a pretty private person. So, but that was my feeling of the fight. You know, why doesn't he see what I'm talking about? Well, after this fight, and we ended up making up, you know, we got some clarity going on. And it's funny because we really came to a compromise of simply that, okay, you know, he sees it one way, I see it another, and we're just in acceptance of each other's points of views, and it's all good. But I took it one step deeper because I kept saying to myself, what is it that I'm not seeing? So let me tell you what my circumstances were because this is kind of interesting. Okay, so everybody knows I'm a huge fan of Lisa Renee's. Love her information, blah, 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 blah. I had just signed out. There's Anthony. Awesome. Okay, well, I think it's Anthony. Let's make sure it's Anthony. Hi, sweetheart. Is that you?
It is I.
Okay, hold on one sec. I'm just going to finish telling the story, and I'm glad you're here to hear it because it's definitely the theme, because it'll tie into your last newsletter as well. So, you know, it's clear we're all going through this. So, okay. So I'm a big fan of Lisa Renee's. So recently I had an opportunity, if you're a member on her site for six consecutive months, you get a discount from a session with her. Now, her sessions at a discounted rate are $333. Now, that I believe that Lisa is working from many deep dimensions. She's worthy of this price tag. But now here's the interesting thing. Okay, so I have an appointment set up. I have my thing with Lisa. And there is a feeling in my gut that I can't shake. And, I'm going, what is this? What is this? It's just a gnawing feeling. So after me and Scott made up and everything, I really clearly saw that Scott was my messenger because I went into the woods, yesterday, and I said, okay, listen, there is something going on here that I can't see beyond the nose on my face. and I'm open. You know, universe, show me what it is that I'm not seeing. So, first of all, the woods ended up showing me all these amazing, being in the woods, I was getting all these memories of, like, past boyfriends that I've been with. There's, like, three in particular, three men over a course of 46 years for me that I was truly, truly smitten with. And I mean, you know, infatuated when I was younger, you know, and I'll use the word smitten as I got older. Scott being one of them, where before we ended up being quote-unquote boyfriend and girlfriend, or at least in a relationship form, there was a lot of chaos getting to that point. But it really struck me that when the time was divine, we ended up connecting and having a relationship. And I feel very complete on the other two, and I believe at some point me and Scott will also come to a completion. And it's like what it started showing me, not just from boyfriends, but I started seeing that, like, anything that I was putting my mind to, I always seem to, I don't get everything, but, like, these big things I get, but not in the timing that I'm used to having. Okay, so that was what I got in the woods. Then I come home, and everybody, if you don't know, George Kvasilis, I'm gonna butcher his name. First of all, he's coming on the show. I'm super stoked. Second of all, I'm going to go see him in Boston. Again, I'm super stoked. But I was watching one of his videos, his series of it, and all of a sudden it hit me about what is going on with me and Lisa. And the best way I can say this is, in my feeling, Lisa's work is extraordinary, but Lisa's work is coming from a fourth dimensional plane. In the fourth dimension, my understanding is that duality basically ends in the fourth dimension, at least duality from a place where people can be just downright evil and a real negativity. I believe that there's still a polarity, but it's a much, like the way George describes it, in the fifth dimension, a war would be considered a difference of opinion, where that same energy in the fourth dimension and the third dimension, that difference of opinion would manifest as a war, because that's just the nature of the frequencies that we're talking about. So, again, I am not trying to... I love Lisa. She is, you know, her whole information was always very welcoming. It didn't feel manipulative at all. But what I'm starting to understand by listening to George's stuff is that there's a big manipulation kind of energy surrounding Earth right now, because there is tremendous changes that are happening as we speak. But I mean, according to what George is saying, which resonates deeply for me, the ETs are absolutely in this year, 2011, going to start making their appearances known by the droves. Now, that in and of itself, of course, is going to be amazing. In my personal and humble opinion, that is going to be amazing. But beyond that, we have to then start going to, well, why is it that they're coming now, and how do we know which of these alien beings to trust? And it's really coming down to really learning how to trust ourselves and how to filter things through our being. Because what I'm understanding is there's going to be, like, three major timelines. There's going to be a timeline of technology, there's going to be a timeline of a false light, and there's going to be a timeline that's organic. Everybody's soul, wherever they go, is in perfect divine order. There is no judgment, there's no right or wrong. But for me, personally, I am choosing, consciously, the organic timeline. I want organic light, I want an organic ascension, I want sovereignty, I want freedom, and I want to have access to the greater cosmos, you know, even amongst death. So I don't want to get more into that because I have the wonderful Reverend Anthony Farmer with us, but I wanted to let you guys know that you know, I thought it was really interesting how the whole thing worked out. I was so grateful, first of all, for the fight with Scott, because it immediately took me into the space of, what am I not seeing beyond the nose on my face? You know, instead of just focusing on, you know, Scott doesn't get it. Why doesn't Scott get it? Now, during our altercation, for lack of a better word, I was definitely saying, Scott, are you kidding me? You know, blah, 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 blah. How do you not see this? And, you know, he wasn't. But once it was not about him anymore, I immediately took that energy and said, he is reflecting something for me. And it was clear to me that since I booked this session, there was a feeling in me that did not feel right. I couldn't believe it. It's like I waited 6 months. I was totally stoked. But I'm starting to realize the information that, like I said, that Lisa's bringing to me is from a fourth-dimensional paradigm, and what the beings, the guardian beings, in my humble opinion, have done in the fourth dimension is simply replicate the rest of the 12 dimensions as opposed to legitimately coming from the 12th dimension. And it's because of one single question that I question about her work, and that is when she said the fifth dimension has been corrupted. And, you know, it's funny because I let something like that pass, but all my teachings have basically said from day one, there can be no polarity, like, it can't be corrupted. The fifth dimension is a frequency that it would not support a deceiving or a manipulative being. You know, like I said, war in the fifth dimension would simply be acknowledging that there's a difference of opinion, but there's a respect amongst beings because that's a frequency that supports that. And until I was ready to see that, boy, my mind was jumping off, you know, cliffs in excitement because one of the things that Lisa does brilliantly is she's a wordsmith, and she speaks to my mental body. And my mental body constantly needs, it's like a fuel tank. It just constantly wants to be fueled. Now, we also, I was reading, let's bring you in, Anthony. First, welcome to the show, Anthony.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for, you know, kind of putting up with my ramble. Because all week long when I was going through this, I kept wanting to share it on Facebook, but I was like, typing it, I couldn't get a feel for it. Now, when I read your newsletter about feeling confusion and clarity simultaneously, mm-hmm. And when you spoke with the elders, I went, oh, my God, see, he's going through it too. So, first of all, what's your feeling about, you know, just the idea of kind of allowing ourselves to move forward at times with clarity and clearly at times in total confusion?
Whoa. I know I can speak for myself, my experience. And there are times when I can see where I'm going. I can see it. It's just clear. The vision is clear. And I can navigate, you know, where I'm going. And it's almost like I have to do nothing, just allow it. The vision seems to just pull me there.
Okay.
Then there are times when I can't see, like you say, I can't see in front of me. I can't see my nose on my face.
Yeah.
I can't see my nose on my face. So without being able to see with any degree of clarity, part of me wants to just stop and not move. Because I can't see.
I honor that.
However, there's still something drawing me that's telling me, keep going. And I'm going, I can't see. Keep going. I can't see. Keep going. And the old me would fight and just would not keep going. I would almost throw a temper tantrum and just stand in the middle of the floor. I would refuse to move any further until someone tells me where I'm going.
Okay.
Almost to the point where I would turn around and run back the other way.
Yeah.
But what's going on now, at least my understanding is, the energies are the energies in the cosmos, the energies in the universe, the energies are shifting. And it's shifting such a way that it's people are being guided, led, pushed, what have you, into a higher level of consciousness. And those who are, you know, in alignment with it, those who have their wings spread, are moving forward, they're just going.
Mm-hmm.
Those who, and if they can see where they're going, they're going. Those who cannot see, the nose on their face, they're being guided anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And those who seem to want to try to stand still and take control, it's not working. And then even those who are trying to turn back and run back the other way, that's not working. Because the shift, the energetic shift is pulling everyone to a higher level. And with that, you're going to see a lot of people fighting that. And so you see a lot of chaos going on, just a whole lot of chaos, because the old ways of trying to cope in the illusion are not working. They're just not working. And so what I'm finding is a lot of people are trying to grasp onto some understanding, some truth, some guidance. And what they used to hold on to does not work anymore. And so they're being forced on some level to shift how they hold truth, how they hold self-understanding, how they hold, in some respects, religion. And in some respects, it's how they hold that concept of God and the universe. They're being not so much forced to shift, but we're given an opportunity to shift, to get in a new alignment with the energies.
Because
the old ways are becoming the old ways, and we're transitioning, transforming, transcending into a new vibration. New vibration. And so the more we are ready to recognize that or just get in alignment with it, the easier life will be.
Right on.
It's my opinion.
Right on.
The easier life will be. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be just so, everything's a walk in the park, but it won't be this fight. And in my opinion, a lot of the institutions that we have and the social structures that we have and the country paradigms that we have, the reason why we're having all this chaos is because they were built on an old paradigm, and that paradigm is crumbling. And so trying to fix the economy and the world economic situation with old paradigms is not going to work, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly, wholeheartedly. This is why we invite you back, babe, because I agree wholeheartedly. first of all, I want to invite callers to call in, speaking to Reverend Farmer. He's awesome. I mean, and I welcome a dialogue, a question, with him directly. Area code 646-929-2084. It's so interesting because the things that I'm starting to, I can remember, there was a point I was reading Neil Donald Walsh's work back when he only had, six volumes of Conversations of God. I think he's up to, 21 volumes at this point. But I remember at one point, I read, I don't know if it was an article, if it was in his book, where when he looked back on his life, he had seen so clearly how the life he had lived made sense prior to his awakening, things that fit that might look quite random in his life prior to that. And ever since I've read that, I've always been trying to kind of look at my life going, what's the meaning of this? What are the reasons I was a drug addict for, 18 years? And what are the reasons I've nannied? And what are the reasons I've never worked corporate? And that's only the surface questions, because what's really kind of showing up for me at this point is, I realized in the year 2000, when my mom died, that collapse of my world, which is exactly what it was, put me in a direct connection with Mother Nature, because people, I've been pretty good with people, but usually from a drunken stoned point of view. In other words, I was really a social butterfly as long as I wasn't sober.
Okay.
Being sober, I was definitely more conservative, and to be honest, going through an ascension, I'm even more conservative. I'm just not the social butterfly I used to be. I'm very content, actually, communicating with people through the computer and on the telephone, meeting at, coffee houses and things of that nature. I don't know why. I just have anxiety over it. But one of the things I'm starting to notice is, I get in touch with Mother Earth on such a deep level after my mother dies, mm-hmm. which is essentially the decade leading up to where I am now. And when I'm starting to, recognize that. And a few teachers have spoken this. I'm curious what you think about this. The idea that free will is from this perspective, meaning the personality third dimensional perspective, my belief is starting to morph into, we don't have free will from this perspective because we are a manifestation of our soul's desires. I like the laugh, but I don't know what it means.
Well, I laugh because I've had this conversation with some people before, well, a couple of people.
Okay.
A dear friend of mine, we talk about free will, and I will say, I said, I have choice up to a point, and then I have no choice. And,
right.
Her response is, but you always have choice. I said, when I acknowledged who I was, when I decided to accept my past as clearly as I can, then that choice is gone.
Yeah.
And I can't choose that anymore because I have made the choice to be me. Not the illusion me, not the earth me, but that higher vibrational me. I have begun. Uh-huh. I have accepted. I'm a spiritual being, and I'm walking a spiritual path. And so, when I made that choice, you don't have to make that anymore. That choice is gone.
Right.
Now I can choose how I want to react to what's coming my way. I get to choose, various things during the day. I get to choose if I want to respond or react. I have those choices. I have free will in that capacity. But once I said yes to my spiritual path, that choice is gone. And the analogy that comes forth for me is in the movie The Matrix. When Morpheus gives Neo the choice between the red pill and the blue pill, once he made that choice, he couldn't go back.
Right, right.
And then I did this in a sermon a couple of weeks ago, whatever. I said, now here is what Hollywood did not tell you. Once you got to that point where you sat down in a chair and you were given the choice between the red pill and the blue pill, that was the choice. To sit in the chair because no matter which pill you took, you couldn't go back anywhere.
Right.
It was a trick. So you could have taken the blue pill or the red pill, but it's going to get you where you got to go anyway.
Right. I agree with that as well.
So I have choice.
Which is such a paradox. Most people don't understand.
It is
because if there's no choice, what's the choice?
It's like once you acknowledge, and at least for me, once I said yes to being on a spiritual path and allowing myself to, as they say in the Bible, according to the Bible, not my will but thy will, once I get in alignment with that universal will, once I get in alignment with that God will or that higher consciousness will or what have you, once you do that, the choice is gone. But you still get the choice to, how you're going to react, respond, handle things that come your way on a day-to-day basis. But that bigger choice is gone because you've already said yes to recognizing that you are part of the universe. And once you made that choice, it's like reality for you, or at least for me. And there's no other choice after that. So I have choice, but I have no choice. Well, I have no choice, but I got choice. And it's hard to explain in words, but I get it.
No, but and you do explain. But and you know why your explanation really works? Because you're living it, so you're vibrating the paradox. In other words, you're vibrating the knowing. Because for me, to surrender to my higher self.
Yes, that's it.
You know, like, I did the first 30 years basically in deep fear being the personality of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I was clearly ready to surrender that. And I'll be honest with you, it's not that, you know, I'm 46. It's been 16 years since, quote-unquote, I awakened. And believe me, it's not that I've gotten everything my way. It's not that, you know, things are handed to me on a silver platter. Oh, my God, quite contrary. I've had betrayal
yeah.
and, you know, I've had experiences, and actually this is one of the things that George is teaching me, where George has an awareness of what he's doing in dream state. So really not, yeah, he's not asleep for it. And he said it's his soul's journey to have that awareness because of this particular time in history. With his awareness, he's here now to tell us what's been going on with many of us in our dream state, but we didn't have that as part of our journey to remember it.
Right.
And you know, that makes sense to me because he's like, we're all teachers. We should all be teaching our personal experiences because that's what a teacher does.
Right.
A teacher teaches what they have experienced, and there are things, aspects of things that George is saying that I have experienced, not in my dream time necessarily, but in my third dimensional reality, because that's where my consciousness has recall, in the third dimension.
Okay.
And I'm for me, it's like, I mean, there's a resonance when someone confirms a situation that it's not that I didn't know it already, because one of the major aspects I am getting for clarity, and this, in my humble opinion, applies to all of us, is to simply know, for me, I need to know my truth.
Right.
Where is, and my truth is based on, because I have already surrendered to my higher self, what's my journey in it, for the rest of, because from now until March of 2013, according to George, and I'm going to say this because it's even according to Goldie, I do resonate with this, and I appreciate you, Anthony, allowing me to discuss this
mm-hmm.
with you because you're beautiful, and it's very much it's a part of where I am. It's helping me find my way at the moment. But he is basically sharing that October 28th, the end of the ninth wave, the calendar, the Mayan calendar.
Mm-hmm.
From October 28th through December 2012, organic doorways are going to open where people who are taking the organic journey will be able to, through nature, go into the fifth dimension.
Yes.
Does that work? No. Okay, so before I even go on to the next thing, I love cross-referencing. Yes, first of all, whew, because I'm feeling this too. I'm feeling this, like that is part of the reason why the timing of my mother's death was not just about her choosing to leave at that point, which, I mean, I've had several connections with my mother. I know my mother's still around. I'm not quite sure which dimension she's in. I know she's just still around. But that triggered a 10-year relationship for me to get closer to Earth more than any other event since then. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's that divine timing thing where it's like the higher self knew, you know, I was going to fall into a total collapse, and the only place I would feel safe was next to a tree, which
okay.
is my truth. That is where I felt safe. And because of this 10-year commitment, and I'm not saying people don't need to be in the woods for 10 years,
no.
But because of that, when people speak about Mother Nature and Gaia and Sophia and all the wonderful aspects of Earth, from a physical plane to a personality to an oversoul in logos, when they speak, a dialogue going with Mother Earth, and what George says resonates deeply is, you know what, I feel that too. I'm feeling the direct message from what he's getting. It's like, wow, that feels like my truth. And I think it's incredibly important, because like the confusion for me with this whole Lisa thing is simply, it's a timeline that I, like, for us to be creating Merkabahs and calling in these energies, it hit me after I had my clarity that that's not organic. That's me creating an artificial Merkabah, because I'm calling it in. There's some nature will create the transportation I need through an opening wherever it is. Because it doesn't have to be that it happens in the woods. I mean, George is like, listen, for people in prison and in hospitals, if it needs to be organically opened right there, it will. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is the beauty of multiple dimensions. This the laws of physics, none of this is in application here. This is multiple dimensions with multiple physics, multiple laws, and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
See, so
my understanding of it does not come in the conversation of dimensions per se. You know, my understanding, as it's being revealed to me, it's that during this time, when we get to the 12/21, 2012, that time, that man's consciousness is going to shift to the next level, and from dimensional space, it means that there's going to be that opening to the fifth dimension, and those who choose to are ready. Their higher selves are going to guide them, into that fifth dimension. The way I see it is that our consciousness is going to expand. It's going to be almost like a door in our mind is going to open up, and we're going to be able to see and feel and sense and know and interact from a higher dimension, much, much more sensitive and much more awakened than we are now in the fourth dimension.
Right
on. So I see it.
Right on.
The same thing, it just comes to me slightly different.
Indeed.
And those who are, and I agree with the organic opportunity, those who are in alignment with the vibrations of nature, the vibrations of consciousness, the higher vibrations of themselves, that transition is going to be organic. It could show up where you're walking down the street and it feels like you just walked through a portal.
Yes.
And you're going to go,
yes.
Oh, wow. Life is vibrating at a higher frequency. I can feel that. I can hear that. I can smell that. I can sense that from a higher frequency, and it's just going to open up this whole new way of being for people. To follow it on from a technological standpoint, it seems to me that it's your mental capacity will be enlightened. But what about your physical, and what about your emotional, and what about your spiritual?
Right on.
It just feels that it will take you much longer to get there if you're on that, technological timeline. But for me, it's like we're going to awaken, and those who are awakened, you're going to awaken up even more. And those who are conscious, you're going to feel it even more. And those of you who walk around thinking that you're walking on air now, wait till you
yeah, exactly.
So everyone will have an opportunity to expand beyond what you can see and feel and understand now. It's just powerful. So it's just whether it's going from the fourth dimension to the fifth dimension, or your light bulb going from a 100 watt to a 400 watt, it's just this opening up of your consciousness, and it just affords us this opportunity to have a much, much deeper, intimate relationship with ourselves and with the universe and with each other. It's beautiful.
No, right on. Well, have you had like a moment of like a oneness moment where there, you know, you could sense, you know, the droplets of water in the air and the trees and the people and, you know what I mean? Like I've been on a spaceship,
mm-hmm.
and as I was leaving my body, en route from leaving my body before I actually got into the spaceship, I was above the house that I was renting, and mm-hmm. I was clearly conscious of the droplets of water in the air, the trees, mm-hmm. the people walking down the street. You know, I had a sense of complete acknowledgement of every single element in the physical.
I love it.
Yeah, it was it didn't last, you know, for days. It lasted, I would say, probably about 30, 45 seconds. But it was clearly something that imprinted on me as a, you know, okay, that's the experience I'm headed towards.
Yeah.
I mean, and then I had the experience on the spaceship, which again is starting to make sense to me. Back what I was saying with, about Neil Donald Walsh, about, you know, because I've never really understood, like, I've been on a spaceship once. I've had a vision of a spaceship kind of forming in the sky, and then I had this beam of light go into my third eye, and a baby was handed to me, which is, there are many ways to interpret that, but other than that, per se, you know, it's not like I'm at the East Seti Ranch, you know, getting total communication, at least not from my total recall of it. I do have a sense probably that I'm doing work when I'm in dreaming, because I think, you know, all of us are. And if I have a little bit of consciousness of the ET work, I'm figuring I'm probably doing that in my subconscious and unconscious sleep states. But again, I was like, why? Why would that happen to me that one time? I mean, not from a complaining point of view, but I'm just trying to piece together my life and where, because With the collapse of the personality part of my world, and when
right.
I say the collapse, meaning, you know, I'm 46 years old. I own a Toyota Echo. That's it. That is my American dream, and I've grown up essentially most of my life in Fairfield County, which is essentially the East Coast Beverly Hills. You know, I'm around extremely successful people with the nanny business. You know, I'm in
right.
million-dollar homes. And it's like, but none of that, that just was never a draw for me. I didn't care about, designer shoes and pocketbooks. You know, I was either, you know, when I was doing the drugs and selling the drugs, I had plenty of money, and it never went to buying stuff. You know, I mean, I still drove a Toyota Tercel at the time, because I don't know, it was just that I was like, okay, that's my job, and I love the fact that I can party drugs and not pay for them, even though I was making, you know, $2,000-$3,000 a week,
mm-hmm.
which you would think, you know what I'm saying, in this county, there's such a draw, and yet on the same note, and I'm not trying to, you know, glamorize any of this, when it was time to leave, I was able to, like, I literally left selling drugs and within 2 months was making $75 a week as a nanny. You know, in other words, it was like 3 months I went back to college. You know, I essentially went from a lifestyle where there was money, cash, just flying out of a safe that I had to no cash.
Okay.
You know, and I think most people, and it wasn't like I was being chased by the cops. It wasn't, you know, in other words, I left simply because there was something inside me that went, okay, you're done.
You're done.
You're just done. You're
yeah.
done. Yeah, that, I'm done, and I didn't know what the hell I was going to do next. And there was a healing, definitely, that needed to be done, because not only did I have the fear, which was driving all of this, the drugs in and of itself had brought me to the most separated from my spirit, which I didn't know at the time that's what it was, but that is what it was. It had separated me from my spirit the most I had ever been. So I had to go back on the journey of reconnecting to my higher self.
Right.
Which, you know, and again, to this day, I make my money, you know, I got a couple $100 in my bank account, and I don't have a job, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not quite sure, I guess I'm experiencing the collapse of the paradigm shift. I mean, I know it's not just America, it's everywhere, because clearly these third world countries, you know, I would imagine on some level are looking at their wrists, waiting for the developed countries to collapse so that the change can take place throughout the entire planet. You know what I mean? Like,
those who are still connected to, you know, an indigenous paradigm, where their spirituality is still connected to something that is beyond the material.
Okay.
I believe those elders are watching and seeing how the material world is responding to what's going on.
Yeah, I agree.
So many of the people in some of the third world countries, those who see themselves as third world, it's, you know, in comparison to the industrialized nations, but those who are still connected to that indigenous spirituality, they don't see themselves in that third world, and they're sitting back going, we knew it was coming, we saw it all.
Yeah,
no,
that's true.
How are you going to handle this? Because, you know,
we
know how to go with the flow and to be in alignment with nature and consciousness. So how are you going to handle this?
Yeah.
When you won't be able to go to the corner grocery store and buy things and the divides between the haves and the have-nots are they're stretching, but then the haves are going to find that they're going to have to do things differently. It's like, how are you going? So it's just quite interesting. But I wanted to get back to something you said earlier about you had that, you know, you had that experience of that oneness, and it was just for that moment or moments. And I remember I had a similar experience. I was walking from the subway coming home, and I passed by this tree, and I just heard this breathing. I'm going, what? And I could hear the tree breathing.
Oh,
I went, whoa, now that is deep. Now I have visions and talk with the elders and deep meditations and shamanic journeys and the whole bit, and various types of experiences. But just to walk down the street and without any intention, just to hear that and go, I heard the tree breathe.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
And so every time I go by that one tree, I was like, are you going to breathe for me today?
Maybe it'll fart. That's the way Goldie talks on her show.
You know, I did do a series of journals about, and I call it the tree whisper, where I would go sit by a tree and listen. You know, I get into a meditative state and just listen, and the spirit of the tree would talk to me and share various things with me. And one that I'm recalling right now is there's a tree that sits on a property in northern Maryland on this retreat center. And I sat by the tree and I was listening. And the tree said, the spirit of the tree said, I've seen many of them running. You know, just running. Mm. I've seen many of them. I'm like, okay. And they're running. And the lesson for me was to tell people about connecting to their inner sense of freedom and allowing themselves to free themselves. Well, later on at that same place, the guys who ran the retreat facility took us to the main house, and he said, "This is a site was a site for the Underground Railroad," and he showed us. Deep underneath the front porch, underneath another part. This is where they. You know, the slaves would hide until nighttime, and then when it was night, they would, you know, leave the property and would head north. And we were not too far from the river I think it was the river that separated Maryland from Pennsylvania. And I went, wow. So when the tree spirit was saying, I saw him running, he, you know, it was telling me about, you know, he had been there for so many years, and he saw the slaves
running
to freedom, running to freedom. I'm like, whoa.
That's hot.
That is deep, babe.
Ah, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I've had a tree, actually. I hugged a tree and heard or felt, you know, because I get that it's inside of us, that at least how that's how it speaks to me. The tree said to me, I've been waiting all my life to be hugged. And I bawled my eyes out. And now I make sure I at least, when I'm walking in the woods, you know, try to be sensitive and touch the trees.
Yes.
And, you know, if I hug one tree, if there's a tree right behind me, oh, I'm going to hug you too. And you know, truth be told, I mean, there really is, on some level, I don't know what dimension or whatever. I know, I believe it's beyond the third, even though it shows up on the third, healing modalities that the trees do. Hands down, they have healed me emotionally. They have because one of the things I got the other day when I was having this clarity of, you know, show me what's beyond the nose on my face,
mm-hmm.
was that this whole time, you know, I've been wanting to go, you know, like I've had people on the show who do DNA work, and, you know, I'm working with Lisa to, you know, call in my 12th dimensional field shield, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the trees were like, you're showing up here. It's happening anyways, you know, but we are definitely, if there was a way to assist this to happen quicker, the trees are the DNA workers. Because I believe the beach probably has definite qualities with the negative eons and the waves crashing and all that. I just don't know it personally because I don't do the beach. I do the forest.
The forest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a shamanic training program called Feather Fire, and it was a self-development, spiritual development program, but we used the shamanic journey as the major technology for that. But one of the exercises that someone showed me several years ago that I would use with the students was, okay, let's go out in the woods and just walk in the woods and find a tree. Just listen.
Okay.
Be guided to a tree. You know, you may hear it speak to you. It may seem to be waving at you, or you just get this sense that you need to connect with that tree. And then go to the tree and sit down and then tell the tree all your issues.
Yes.
Just tell the tree all your issues. And and what was going on was, you know, you could go to the tree and actually just, you know, share, release that heaviness, that energy, and the tree would take it into the earth and transform it back to the root, to the core. Mm-hmm. Or the tree was providing this cleansing. And then I said, you know, after you feel like you've exhausted telling your story, then listen.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen. And many people would come back and say, you know, I would hear laughter. Or they would say, you know, after I just told my story, it's like, why am I holding on to this? Or I'm making it much more dramatic than what it is. It's like, yeah, that connection with the tree, with nature, with the higher vibrations of nature, it's healing, it's cleansing, it's cathartic. And if you listen hard enough, the tree is going to tell you, blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
we are
filled with a forest of blah, blah, blahs.
Blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, yeah. Okay, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Now breathe, you know. And then
and you realize that there's more oxygen in a forest simply because of the fact that the trees are the ones that are. But here, I just want to share with the audience, these are a few other tidbits I've picked up along the way. There was a gentleman who had become a Rama at one point in my awakening lifespan that I was connecting with, and I'll never forget, he had said in an audio discussion thing that if you ever got stuck interdimensionally, it will be a tree that will help you get unstuck and kind of work you back not to be stuck. And I never forgot that. Another thing I heard about the trees, I mean, the obvious is, of course, that we exhale the carbon dioxide and they exhale the oxygen. Mm-hmm. So clearly, you know, the connection from a physical level mm-hmm. is there. But, I just lost my train of thought.
Did that bird just fly out the window?
Yes, Golden Hawk has left the building. It was about the trees.
But connecting
all right,
to the
if
trees,
I...
finding your way back to yourself
yes.
through the trees.
And it was something about, it's, you know when you know it's just completely blank?
I'll share
go
this
ahead, please.
And hopefully to come back.
Okay.
I was at a retreat in New York, upstate New York, and
okay.
I was walking around just having conversations about, you know, becoming a minister, becoming a reverend, not wanting to get the big ego head of being this minister and how I have seen other ministers, in my interpretation, abuse or misuse that power. And I was like, I don't want that. I just, you know, how can I make sure that I don't get caught up in that drama? And I was
right.
by this huge rock about the size of a Volkswagen Beetle and leaning against a rock, and I heard the rock say, come to me. I'll help keep you grounded.
Mm,
anytime
nice.
You feel like you have, you know, you're losing control and your ego self is taking over and trying to get you to really abuse your power, misuse your power, and you're not in alignment with your higher good, come to me.
Nice.
And
nice.
I said, okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the rock would provide that sense of groundedness. It would help me, you know, get back in touch with, you know, my higher self. And the other thing I heard very clearly is like, oh, we will tell you when you are, when you need to get over yourself. We will let
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, going back to what we were speaking about earlier, it would appear to me now, this new energy, that anytime I am not in alignment with the harmony of the one,
yes.
It is just so blatantly obvious to me, and it's going to be obvious. You know, in other words, if I'm in any kind of controlling or manipulating space, it is so uncomfortable to me physically, emotionally, financially. My mental looping mind will immediately start kicking into gear, and it's like, I mean, it used to be that, you know, I would go into it, but I wouldn't notice it so quickly. Where I mean, now, it is like instant. The moment the thoughts are not in harmony with the one, I'm feeling some sort of discomfort. And, you know, it's like, it does seem to be, you know, at least from my perspective, that the only way I'm going to get to where I'm going to get to with the, and that's one of the things I would like to say. When I'm with the trees, oh, I thought about the other thing. Okay,
uh-huh,
I got the other
uh-huh,
thing.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Well done. When we sit in a forest of trees that are anywhere from like 25 to 75 feet tall, there is the trees, what they do is it's almost like they keep the psychic energy of like the masses at the top.
Mm.
And so when you're at the bottom, there is a quietness that you're actually, the trees can almost create a space that psychic chatter, the monkey talk of the planet,
uh-huh.
you don't hear and you don't experience.
Ooh,
yes, and yeah, me too, because one of the things when I'm most chaotic is you just want to go someplace quiet. And, you know, most people get that at 4 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, but if you're doing the forest during the day, you can get that during the day. So
mm-hmm.
I wanted to share that too. So,
oh,
indeed.
I love that.
Well, and thank you so much for helping lead that back to me. That was sweet. So, nature is definitely rocking. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you have any experience with extraterrestrials of any kind, including what they call intraterrestrials, which are the beings that are in the Earth?
No. And I say with a little caveat that in meditations, sometimes spiritual entities will reveal themselves to me. And what I find out is they will reveal themselves in a form that it is familiar to me.
Okay.
And then other times I've had, when I'm in shamanic journeys, there's one particular place that I go to, and the group of energies that are there, the way they reveal themselves to me is they're cat, they're hybrids of cat and human.
Oh, so that's Syrian.
So it's almost like, you know, the cartoon The Thundercats.
I remember that cartoon.
But they reveal themselves, you know, in cat form. I mean, all sorts of, you know, lions and tigers, but they are humans. But, you know,
feline. Feline, yeah. Right. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Now, has anybody ever, because that is, I'm Syrian as well. And to be honest, I believe we're all seeded from, you know, like, we all have out there in here. I mean, that's a, but right. See, that doesn't. But I want to stick with you. I want to say the work that you're doing, the beingness. First of all, now is a good time. I want people to know about your newsletter because I'm so loving that it comes right to my box and I get to read it. And you know, if I want to go and explore it more, I go to your Facebook. So can you share how people can sign up for the newsletter?
The newsletter is called Conversations with the Elders, and it is a reflection. Well, actually, it's not a reflection. It's like a journal entry. Every time I take a journey to the elders, I record it. And so what people read is my actual experience of going to the elders and having the conversations and the experiences that we have. And it comes out, I think their frequency right now is maybe twice a month, every 2 weeks or so. I have them more frequently, but they will guide me to say, this one you got to share, this one you got to share. So one way to find it is if you're on Facebook, there is a page called Conversations with the Elders. It's its own page, and you can sign up there. And you can see some of the ones that I have most recent ones. But there is a Yahoo group called Conversations with the Elders. It's all one word. And you could sign up for them there. And I believe that Yahoo group has all of the ones I've written in the last 3 or 4 years.
Nice.
They're all on there. And that Yahoo group, that is just for distribution only. So if you sign up for it on the Yahoo group, again, it's Conversations with the Elders. You only would get that once or twice a month with that particular conversation and experience. And if people, you know, generate any conversations from that, it just comes straight to my email box. So it's just for distribution purposes only.
Okay, and I'm telling you guys, if you have any connection with Earth, the elements, the animals, it was how I found Anthony. And I mean, he had posted a few actually on Facebook, and you know, I am a very picky person, and what I put on my wall has to be a certain frequency. And I mean, I fell in love with the work. I mean, I really love that because I'm really about right now as we're sharing all of our experiences, truly it is helping so many people. You know, because I get that part of my soul's journey is I have been deep down the rabbit hole, you know, pretty much my whole life, but clearly from a conscious point of view for 16 years. And, you know, where most people were kind of, they might dive in every now and then when they do a workshop, or, you know, they might have a dream that takes them somewhat, you know,
right.
They might not just be as, you know, bent on. I mean, because when I had my awakening, I asked the universe, how do you work? You know, I need to know how you work, because I was so clearly making stupid choices, and I knew intuitively that I was an intelligent person.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't understand what is it that makes me make these choices? Why? And so again, you know, I mean, this is my journey has been fabulous. I love that at this point in time in my life, I have created the space where, by being connected with my soul, you know, I mean, it's okay that I am, quote-unquote, not a successful human personality, because from a soul's perspective, I am prepared for one of the most dramatic changes, I believe, that's going to happen on this planet. I mean, it's like the change is coming. You know, I'm not quite sure. I can tell you that. I mean, George basically puts, quote-unquote, an end to the planet by March 21st, 2013. And when I say an end to the planet, it's not Armageddon. It's the third dimension. There's going to be some pole shifting and some crustal stuff going on. But, you know, there's going to be those that go through the portals. There's going to be those that hop on ET spaceships. There's going to be those that go to underground places, again, where other technologies are being invited. And so it's like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, until I found George's work, I knew at this point, I look at myself as, like, I'm a bull in a china shop. You know, I make a joke with, like, when I'm working with the kids. The stork must have, I was supposed to go to Alaska. The stork that was carrying me hiccuped, and I ended up in Fairfield County, Connecticut. I am not supposed to be. I'm supposed to be with the wilderness and the wild animals and the Inuits, and here I am, you know, with the Paris Hiltons, you know, and the Kim Kardashians. I don't know how this happened, but the beauty is, it seems right now, I'm getting a deeper and deeper clarity of what I'm supposed to be doing. And one thing I clearly get, and I can see the resonance of the people that I deeply resonate with from my show's perspective, is we're all sharing our truth.
Yeah.
And nobody's pushing. Like, I had a guest on last week. I love him dearly, but he was like, listen, in order to do it, you got to be raw, you got to be vegan. And you know what? No. I had some clarity on, because I was feeling a tension from that, and I'm going, you know, that would be like saying the animals have more consciousness than the plants. And the truth of the matter is, this third dimension, it makes sense to me when George says that everything by March 21st on the surface of the planet is going to be essentially recycled. Because the paradigm that we're living in on the Earth right now is a consumption paradigm.
Yeah.
Everything feeds off of each other. And in an enlightened state, we all will feed off of light. We won't need to eat plants or animals. But you can't say that it's, you know, it's okay to eat the plants, but it's not okay to eat the animals, because from a conscious point of view, it's still consciousness that we're eating. You know, it's like, so I'm understanding that, you know, I mean, like, I have recognized that this is a consumption planet for many years. I mean, I can remember when I traveled. I haven't done the Redwoods yet in Oregon, but
okay.
I've been to Oregon. And I remember seeing trucks with trees, huge trees in their back, you know, cut trees.
Right.
And when I saw them, I would feel in my heart, they reminded me of the trains with the concentration camp victims, just carting their bodies away. And like when we were driving, because I did a workshop, I was with two friends in the car, and I had to lay down in the back seat. I bawled my eyes out. I couldn't experience seeing the trees like that. You know, because that's not enlightened. That is, you know, consumption, and it's, you know, I'll go by a florist, you know, and I'll see these, you know, half a mile yards of plants and flowers. And I'm like, who are you to sell earth? You know what I mean? It just seems so audacious. Or pet stores selling pets and animals, you know, like, you know, I just, I have these visions of, you know, why don't we put people in zoos? Which I have a feeling on some level,
well,
actually, that's happening. Sorry. What? To share with me, I am on a tangent tonight, and I apologize.
That's fine. It's fine. I did want to respond to your guest last week who made the statement that, you know, in order to do this, you have to be vegan and vegetarian. And,
yes.
You know, my response to that is what I am sensing and what is being revealed to me is that, you know, as we move into this new shift, what is required is for people to get open, be willing, be ready, and that
yes.
openness and that releasing the heaviness. One way to do that is with your diet, vegan and vegetarian,
yes.
and that
yes.
that's not so much about, you know, not eating meat. It's about, for some people, that's how they will experience that sense of openness and being light, to be able to, you know, connect with that vibration. Some people may not need to go that route. So it's not about you have to do this, you have to do that. It's about being open. It's about connecting to your higher self and then listening to your higher self guide you for your truth. For some people,
right
their truth
on.
Is a
right.
path through vegan or vegetarian. For others, it may not necessarily be that. But we have to
right.
get, I believe, and this is my judgment, my issues, we have to get past this, you know, one size fits all.
Yes.
And get
yes.
into.
Definitely.
Get
definitely.
Into what is your vibration? What is your inner self saying? What is your higher self saying? And, you know, it's what's being required for all of us is, you know, we're all being asked to connect to our inner self. Our many of us are being asked to connect to our Christ self, our Buddha self,
yes.
our Krishna
yes.
self, our Kuan Yin, whatever you want to call it, but that
yes.
higher vibration. And we all going to have to walk, recognize, embrace, and become that path ourselves. One size does
mm.
not fit all.
Mm, right on. I absolutely. And part of that for me is also recognizing that, you know, I mean, my beloved Scott could clearly be going the technological
mm-hmm.
journey. I mean,
yeah.
he is a tech freak, you know, and he's a master at it. I mean, there could very well be parents and children where the children's going organic and the parent is going technology, or the
yeah.
other way around, or the child
yeah.
is good. And we have to honor everybody's journey is divine exactly as it is for them. There is, you know, because, you know, it's so funny. I recognize that one of the heavinesses that you speak of that I'm learning to release is control.
Ooh.
Imagine that. You crack me up, Anthony.
He's singing my
but,
song, that's why.
Yeah, huh. Well, I mean, because, you know, without going into a long story, I had an episode last year or the year. No, I think it was last year. I quote-unquote liberated this girl who's 19. She's one of my nanny kids who, you know, is now grown up and we're still friends.
Okay.
And I liberated her from a quote-unquote controlling relationship all through control. And the... what ended up manifesting was a 13-car chase led by her boyfriend that I was liberating her from towards us, towards me and Alana in the car. And I am telling you, there's been certain times in my life. Well, I do want to just share that. There was a time in my life when I was 15 where I was out. I was supposed to be sleeping at a girlfriend's house. We were out. We were smoking and drinking and doing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And five people who were tripping on something beat the crap out of me. There were three girls and two guys, and the friends I were with, they took off on me, and I laid in the fetal position in the middle of a snowstorm outdoors, and five people kicked the shit out of me. When I saw the cars, you know, literally converging on us, that it was a setup. There's a lot to the story, but when I saw that, it immediately went back into my head. Remember when you were 15, Goldie? You're going to let them kick your ass again? And I was like, no. No, I'm not going to let them kick my ass. And one of the things I got during the quote-unquote chase is, Anthony, there was a dragon, I believe, under my car because we were driving. First of all, it was raining out that night. Nothing happened to the car. We were driving through brick walls, over tree stumps, through garbage pails, through fences that people had. I mean, they were literally trying to run us off the road. They got in front of us, so they were, like, you know, trying to sandwich us in. We were driving on the wrong side of the road. It was like I was in second gear doing 70 miles an hour. We were running cross sections without, I wasn't even stopping. I'm like, we're going, because my whole gig in my head was, I won't stop the car until I'm surrounded by cops. I won't stop the car until I'm surrounded by, that was the message in my head playing. But it came from a space of when I saw the cars entering the parking lot where we were supposed to be meeting somebody. The first initial reaction was, you're going to get your ass kicked again, babe? You know, because I get that there's this part of us when we're in fear that just wants to sit, you know, and not move and make it all go away and go, you know, I can't believe that. Because, I mean, I was 45 at the time going, are you kidding me? Am I really involved in something like, but that all happens. And then it's like, okay, so what are you going to do about it, Goldie? And one of the things that I was saying earlier, that I transpire things in this dimension, George talks about, you know, how he's been tortured by aliens in other dimensions. Well, when I got my ass kicked by those five people, you know, I had broken ribs and frostbite in my fingers. You know what I mean? I was clearly tortured on some level.
Right.
But I also recognize that when it came down to it, my higher self dropped into my body during this car chase because I commanded the space of simple. I won't pull over the car. I won't pull over until there's cops surrounding us. I mean, I had 911 on the phone. I was driving with one hand, talking on the phone with another, and 911 goes, pull over. And I'm like screaming and swearing, what part did you not hear? There's 13 people chasing me. I was like, find me. And they're like, well, where are you? And I was like, I'm driving down the wrong side of the road on Chestnut Hill. Find me. You know, it's like, because again, it was like, you know, authority was going, do it this way. And I was like, no. No, I will not do it that way. And I think this is the kind of presence that when these changes that are coming on the planet right now, and I absolutely, you know, we all know they're coming. I don't think we're all ready or prepared per se. Even those that know, I don't think are truly prepared for basically starships showing up going, okay, step right up. We've got the answer. I mean, you know, it's like, holy moly. I mean, but I do know that I am connected to a space within my being that resonates for me of, you know, it's not from ego and it's not from, you know, fame and fortune. It's from, I will not, the ascension line I'm going on is the organic one. I will follow Mother Earth only. That is the only being that I trust that's of a larger nature than me right now.
Well,
I mean, that
like
is who I trust.
Her all along. It sounds
well,
like you've been following that all along. So it's like, you know, now it sounds like you're much more conscious of that.
Yes.
That's the path you're on, that organic path, that,
yes,
that Mother Earth path. That, yeah.
Aw, you're beautiful. Thank you. I agree.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what it feels like. Yeah.
Yeah, no, because then another thing that, you know, I recognize, in all the drugs that I did and stuff, and I mean, I still smoke my ganj, but I don't do any prescription drugs.
Okay.
You know, there's no, and I've been diagnosed bipolar and manic depressive, and I was like, listen, you can diagnose me all you want. I'm not going on pills. I mean, I went on birth control, and it just whacked me out. Like, I don't know how people, there are women that are on that pill for like 35 years. I personally don't know how they can do that. I mean, it just, for me, it never worked. And you're absolutely right, because it's like all of a sudden it hit me. It's like, see, Goldie, even my course of drugs, they were at least natural. Well, and the cocaine wasn't natural. But, I mean, the prescription drugs, you know, it cracks me up. They might be legal, but they're, in my humble opinion, way more damaging to from a soul's connection point of view, you know, than ayahuasca or marijuana. I mean, please, please, we don't even have to. Are you kidding me? That to me is a no-brainer, but
it's
that's a whole nother
side, the potential side effects from a lot of prescription drugs that they don't want to talk about, and they don't, you know, modern medicine doesn't look at drugs from a holistic perspective. You know, how does this drug impact the whole system? It may address this symptom of this particular illness or this particular disease, but we don't stop to say, but how does this impact the holistic system, the whole spiritual, mental, physical body? And we don't go there. We don't go there.
At all.
Quick pill to address some issues. And don't get me wrong, you know, I have my pills I'm taking.
Really?
For some medical stuff.
And you still have connection with your elders, though. See, I didn't think that was possible.
Oh.
See, this is what you're saying. Okay.
When I got that particular diagnosis, and they said, well, you need to take this pill. So I went inside. I said, do I need to take the pill? Because I really don't want to. And my guidance said, you need to.
Oh,
you need to take the pill. It's okay, fine. So we've been on the
pill.
And so, and then recently I ran out of one of the pills, and I was like, oh, I need to get on this pill. I need to, you know, get the refill, And I heard, you don't need it, not this one. I said, okay.
Nice.
And so when I went to the doctor, and the doctor's like, well, we're going to take you off that pill. I'm like, okay.
I love it.
Okay.
Right on.
So it's, but again, it's
a balance. It's a balance.
It's me checking in and says, okay, do I need this?
Right.
Do I need to do this?
Right.
Do I need to do this? Well, you need to do this because we need to stabilize you on this issue so that we can do this other stuff. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Well, you know, I want to say, though, because the truth is, this ascension is absolutely a very physical experience.
Oh, yes.
I mean, there is no doubt that the physical body is shifting from a carbon-based being to a silica-based being. Clearly. And it can really disrupt systems.
Yes.
I mean, hands down. Yes.
I hear it from a lot of friends and clients. They're like, you know, I'm feeling this and I'm feeling that. I'm like, go along with it. Don't fight it. Just go along with it. Your body is shifting. Your vibration is shifting. Your frequency is shifting. Your consciousness is expanding. Go with it. You know, if it's getting too tough, you need to take a couple of pills just to calm yourself down. That's fine. But don't go to trying to cure or stop it because it's part of what's going on. So just go with it.
That deserves this.
Go with it.
It's brilliant. You know, that was a brilliant. That is exactly right because, you know, I take Motrin. That seems to be my panacea because sometimes the headaches are crazy bad.
Yeah.
And I know, I say to myself, I'm like, I know I'm disrupting this process, but you know what? What I always do is the following day, if I can, get to the woods, because that's quote unquote, that's my doctor's office. It's like, okay, listen, I know that there's something going on right now, and let me assist. Or what I tell people, if you're going to go to the beach, go in the water. I mean, now you really have a different perspective, and I want to make sure that we get to the elders too tonight. Definitely.
They're sitting by.
Okay. Well, because I just recently became much more conscious of the idea that water is sentient. I mean, I'm actually speaking to the water in the shower, speaking to the water that I'm drinking, speaking to the water, even if I'm making iced tea, and saying, I want to be in alignment with what's for my highest good, and if there's assistance that you can give in going from carbon, you know, I'm open to it. You know, I'm respectful of it. I'm appreciative of it. It's like we're 80% water. The planet's 80% water. You know, it just became so like, you know, what? This is big, Goldie. I think you need to start talking to the water.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing. Definitely. But please share what your wisdom, because that's one of your elders.
Yes, the elders, when I first met them, or they first revealed themselves to me, at first it was just the four elders. It's the four elders, two males and two females. And then, you know, as I started to visit more often, then they revealed to me, you know, who they were, the elder of water,
okay.
The elder of fire, the elder of earth, and the elder of air. So they represent the four elements, at least in that paradigm, because some cultures have a different paradigm in terms of the elements. Some have five and some have six,
right.
Different things
right.
like that. But with this is the four elders, and so they hold on. Okay. So they reveal
the
themselves.
The elders are calling.
Yeah, actually, it was my mom.
Oh, there you go. There's an elder too. Namaste,
elder.
Mom.
So they reveal themselves to me in that fashion, and in my way of trying to control it, sometimes I expect the elder of air to present things from the qualities and perspective of air, and they're saying, don't box us in that way.
Oh. You know,
receive the wisdoms as they come and the conversations as they come, but don't try to box us in to make us fit into a paradigm that's comfortable for you. That's not what we are about. You know, we are
okay.
about, you know, you coming here, and then we just relate, and we talk, and we converse, and we do ritual, and we do ceremony, and you have questions, and, you know, we were answering them in such a way that we really don't answer the question, or we don't give you the answer you're looking for, we give you what is needed at the time. And so that, you know, I've developed that type of relationship with them.
Yeah,
but the elements, oh, wow, just powerful. And
yeah, well,
for me,
okay.
Someone told me years ago, she said, she looked at me and she said, when you go in nature, that's like heaven to you, isn't it? I said, yeah.
Right on.
Said, that's home to me. That's where if I want to experience heaven on earth, if I want to connect to, you know, the highest vibration, for me, if I want to get realigned, I have to go into nature. And I
right
feel
on. Me too.
I just feel it. My body just, you know, the fluid flows, the energy flows. I walk taller. You know, I think I'm 6 feet
yep.
tall anyway, but.
Right on.
So
yeah, no, definitely. Definitely.
But
definitely. It is heaven on earth. Yes.
Yeah, it really, really is. And so for me, because I have that affinity with the natural world, the elders reveal themselves to me in those four elements, and we connect from that perspective. That's a paradigm that's very familiar to me, and so that's how they show up. And a lot of the things we do, we will go outside. We're by the trees and the rivers and the mountains, and we go into the caves and things like that. So it's very natural. For me to be there because, you know, just out of nature. So.
Yeah. Well, and I like what you said because kind of going back to the reason why I brought up that car chase is when the elders tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, that's surrendering control. You're not, you know, you're not saying, no, that's not right, tell me again, or however, you know, I don't even know how to play it at this point, but meaning life will show, you know, it's almost like, the letting go of control is, for me anyways, really learning that, I want to bring this up, really learning that life is showing me what is in harmony and what is what is the path to oneness and beauty. And so, you know, there's plenty of things that I'm like, oh, I want this. And, well, no, that's just not part of the harmony of oneness. You're not getting that, Goldie. And what became so obvious to me, of course, was in the controlling of Alana, having such, you know, an experience that was trying to control me, something that George said that was very interesting, that when we control or manipulate, and I'm talking about in any circumstances, whether it's to get our boyfriends to do something or girlfriends or to get a job, whatever it is, and I just want to throw this out there, essentially there are beings that if through the law of cause and effect, if we put a manipulation into the matrix, so to speak, manipulation is going to come back. I mean, that's just karma. You know, that's just the law of cause and effect.
Yeah.
So there are beings that when we open up our experience to receiving the control that we've just put in, there are beings that are jumping on this bandwagon, making it far more detrimental, but the bottom line is the window or the door has been opened simply because we put it out there. Now we've got to get it back. So the reason why I'm saying this is to be extremely conscious now of truly, I mean, and you'll see it in your own life where it seems like, wow, you know, like karma is no longer taking years, months, and or weeks to be fulfilled. Karma is damn near instant. So if you don't know it, it's because you're turning your eye to it. Where if your life will not, like I had a friend of mine told me a story tonight where he got on the bus and it was a later bus to get home from work. So he asked the bus driver, you know, what time will we be arriving at a certain stop? And the bus driver, I guess, had a bad day or was not in a good mood, didn't give him the information. And my friend was like, you know, kind of getting on him, saying, what's your number? I'm going to call your supervisor. You know, you work for the public. You have an obligation. And then after talking to my friend, you know, I said to him, you know, and my friend, you know, is on a conscious path. I was like, wouldn't it have been a little better to maybe show him through compassion what it would be like to be with the public, you know, as opposed to, you know, giving him threats and,
right,
you know, that. And it can't come out of the conversation. My friend goes, my friend's boss had basically been riding him, going, listen, I'm watching you. You're not doing things the way I want you to be doing them. And he took that exact same energy and put it on the bus driver.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, even from the witness point of view, I'm like, God, look at this.
Right.
You know, just amazing to see the projection and the clarity. So if we can just take in, truly, if something is going on, make it put it on your mirrors in your bathrooms, in your bedroom, in your car. Just accept what is. You know, it's like, because I know we've all been conditioned to kind of go, well, listen, you know, I could do this and maybe make the outcome be this. But that is a doorway to open for manipulation that, you know, at this time in particular, we don't want to leave our energy fields vulnerable to anything manipulating us. There is more behind that, in other words.
Yes, what you send out, it is coming back. And I believe it may be in the spiritual tradition of Wiccan, and I hope I'm not misquoting anybody, but someone was telling me one of their understanding is, you know, you have to be mindful of what you do because it's going to come back. Sevenfold or threefold.
Yes.
I've heard it in various different numbers of fold. But whatever you send out, it is coming back. It's going to come back. And I agree, it's coming back quicker. Much, much, much quicker. It's almost like if you're going to go out here and kick somebody in the butt, as soon as you kick
somebody, you're going to turn around and get it. Yeah.
Somebody's going to kick you in the butt. You're going to go, where'd that come from? It's just becoming so, and it's going to require people, us, to be much more conscious of what we're doing, what we're saying, what we're thinking, because that manifestation is just coming so quicker and so quicker. And also what comes with that is those who are of a vibration of manipulation, you know, some of them are going to try to manipulate even more. It's going to come back and
exactly.
slap them upside the head. I'm telling you.
Absolutely. And the beautiful part about that is, remember, we're the creators of it from the initial point of view. In other words, if I am conscious to manipulate nothing, nothing will manipulate me.
Yep.
That, you know what that's the power in the higher self. That it's not like, you know, well, what happens if I get manipulated? But you won't, you know, because these are all following laws that can't be broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that clearly got me into a clarity about Lisa not necessarily being my teacher anymore is she just decided to say, you know, the fifth dimension was corrupted. It's like, you know what? That's a law that can't be corrupted. The fifth dimension is what it is. So if her message is on the premise that the fifth dimension is corrupted, that's essentially a paradigm that hasn't left the fourth dimension.
Yeah, and
so
go ahead.
No. I want to know, please, what is your feeling on that?
It's when you said it the first time, and I'm going, what? And my experience with some people is the messages or the information or the impulses they receive, you know, it comes not so much in words. Words are the technologies that we use. And so sometimes
yeah.
people will hear something and then they will put their word to it. And
right.
so the word of to hear that the fifth dimension is corrupted, I'm going, but that's a third dimensional concept.
Yeah.
So how are you applying a third dimensional concept to the fifth dimension? You know, how are you taking something in football and applying it to ballet? You can't. That doesn't translate that way. It doesn't translate that way.
Right.
And it's
right.
almost as. And I don't know her, and I'm not questioning her whatever.
No,
but it just
I honor
up
that.
To me.
I hear you.
Sometimes the paradigm by which we see things, we have to expand that too. And so,
yeah.
you know, if you
yes.
have glasses that do not give you an opportunity to see the fifth dimension in clarity, you might be seeing it from a distorted perspective. And,
right
and
on.
Like I said, I have no idea who she is. I'm not questioning her anyway, but it just, I'm going, what?
Right.
And the reason why I respond that way is because I had a reading once from somebody, and she was sharing with me what she was getting, and I'm going, no, that's not what they're saying. And I caught myself. I'm going, wait a minute. I'm going, are you hearing what they're? I'm like, I hear what they're saying and what they're telling you and what you're telling me is not the same. The essence of it is very similar, but your interpretation of what they're saying is not what they're saying. And so with that, after I had that experience, I only go to
you recognize you don't
people.
Go out to yes exactly you have your own intuition.
I'm like I have to go to somebody who when I'm with them, and we're together, the vibration is such that I can feel the truth, I can feel the authenticity, I can you know I have my experience, but
right
I'm like
on.
What
right
you saying is not what they're saying, that's not what he said.
Right on.
But I didn't tell her
right
that.
On. Oh, you didn't say that? Well,
I didn't. That was before I even knew what was going on.
Oh, I see. Okay. But
now
it was all
right.
It was part of your journey.
Yeah,
well,
I
can't even imagine you asking someone else for, you know, you go within. And that's what, you know, like I said, because I am clearly seeing from my own perspective, first of all, there's purpose to Lisa's work.
Yes.
There is, because she fills a niche
yes.
of a certain group. And
yes.
and listen, All space will lead, all path will inevitably come back to oneness.
Yes.
Because there's
yes.
no other place to go. I mean, now it's just a matter of there are certain, because I don't believe all of us, quote unquote, came into this experience, quote unquote, at the same time.
I agree.
I think there are beings that are still very much enjoying the duality of
yes.
a third dimensional experience. And if Earth, now I do believe Earth is going to be turning into a star. I think
wow.
she's been around for many moons. She has clearly you know, given everything she could. I mean, she's damn near death at this point, so, you know, it's time for her to ascend. But there are beings that very much, you know, are still fulfilling their soul prophecies by playing in duality, so they'll follow a certain journey that will bring them into another Earth-like third-dimensional experience.
Yes.
Where me, I feel very complete, and it shows up because consumption has never done it for me. I don't need consumption, so I would much rather do an experience that's not about who's stronger, the will and the battle. And listen, I know wars because that's another thing. I mean, I'm a firm believer. I have done negative things in this lifetime, and I have seen visions of myself doing very negative things in past lifetimes, and I'm at peace with that. I'm integrating who I am, because I used to tell people all the time, listen, we came to a third-dimensional planet to do third-dimensional things. Let's not be surprised when we're doing them. Well, why else did you come here if not to get dirty, so to speak? And now what I'm realizing is all the dirt is healing me. You know, I've had parents tell me, wash my kids. You know, they've got dirt on their hands and their feet. And I was like, oh, yes, take chemicals and make your children clean when the dirt is probably helping their systems and their, you know, ADD and ADHD. You know, I just laugh when what makes us clean and what makes us healthy are two different things. But listen, can we, I could talk to you all night, Anthony. you must be a fabulous minister because you have a warmth about you and an understanding and an acceptance that, you know, I get that I pop all over the place. I tell people I speak circularly, not
okay.
Literally.
Right.
And it's part of because that's how I'm wired. I'm an indigo, and we think. And you don't have any problem following that, or, you know, you just adjust, and I think that's the quality of an excellent minister. So I want to...
I appreciate that.
All
these
apply. My pleasure. I appreciate it, too, because it makes for a wonderful, you know, there's no pressure that I'm not telling the story or I'm jumping all over the place because, you know, your ability to kind of bounce with me is right up, right there, and it's awesome.
Cool.
But I would love to hear what the elders have to say about what's going on right now on any capacity that they want to share, if you're open to it.
Okay. Give me a quick second to...
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Okay, I'm just going to talk for a few minutes. You know,
go ahead.
Just a quick second to... Okay, so next week... next week's show, I'm not sure if it's next week or the following week, but I do have a new guest coming on, Life After Life, a gentleman whose son died at 16, and they co-wrote a book together, he being in the place we go after we die, and his father still being here. And this guy is a doctor. This is the second doctor I've had whose child died, actually, and his son... who has, you know, it's funny how science is being opened up through spirit, but he wrote a book called Life After Life. And one of the things that I really liked about what the son was writing about the afterlife was he was actually including some of the alien agenda, quote-unquote, but from a very casual point of view, not where it was his whole gig, but the fact that he included it, I felt that, okay, this is a wonderful spectrum. So I read his book and said, come on the show, and he's either going to be on next week or the following week. But, God bless Goldie. Goldie don't know what's going on her own show.
Cool.
Yeah.
Woo, okay. Somebody's present.
Hmm.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I like the laughing.
They enjoy working with me because they love to see me react.
Okay.
They just get a kick out of it. I think I part of my purpose is to give them laughter and.
That's awesome. So humble of you, Anthony.
What's coming forth now is that the Elder of Earth is very present.
Okay.
And I'm hearing no matter what you believe about this time in terms of, you know, the consciousness of man and what's going on, no matter what you believe about what they're saying about, you know, the ascension in 2012 and all that good stuff, he's saying you have to check your foundation. Your foundation is what you believe in. What do you believe in? And be mindful of knowing what you believe in, where you are rooted, and the distinction between being trapped in that. Mm-hmm. And so many people, they have beliefs, but they put themselves in a jail with their beliefs. They imprison themselves with their beliefs because their beliefs don't allow them to grow and expand and I just see this light shining bright. So it's like allowing your light to shine. There's a difference in having a belief that controls you, that consumes you, that imprisons you, that keeps you in jail, and having your foundation in a belief. There's a difference. A tree has its foundation, has its roots in the earth, but it grows. It grows tall, it grows wide, it keeps growing, it's being the tree. And so whatever we believe is going on, or we may not believe what other people are saying is going on this time in the time of humanity, check your belief. Is your belief such that it gives you a foundation in which to grow, or is your belief keeping you incarcerated, enjailed? That's the word. Enjailed. There's a difference. And so many people, their beliefs, spiritual, religious, social, whatever their beliefs are, they are not allowing them to shine, to grow, to expand, to be organic. Ooh, I love that word. Organic. But if your beliefs allow you to grow and expand and be organic, that's where you want to go.
Right.
That's
on.
Where you want to go.
That's beautiful.
The Elder of Fire is present now, and what she is showing me. This is, I love this. What she is showing me is a picture of a phoenix. It's like a bird that is flying, and all of a sudden it just goes into flames.
Wow.
And then
that
what
has
it
been
does,
coming up all week. Just that is a Facebook thing. I love it. That is such a synchronicity.
Sorry, please continue.
Like, yes.
We have to allow ourselves to connect to that sense of transformation within us, where we get to a place and we can no longer go as we are, and we have to burn up, and then we give birth to ourselves, a new self. You never give birth to the old self, you give birth to the new self. And she says you got to allow that fire to burn away the old, to give birth to the new, to give rise to the new. And so you want to connect to that energy within yourself, too, because those who do not connect with the flow, the natural flow of the fire as it transforms, you will get burnt out. Ooh.
Oh,
burnt
wow.
The fire will burn you out versus allow for an alchemic experience. So it's like, go
wow.
Ooh, that was beautiful. And the interesting thing with the visual with the phoenix is the bird was flying when it burst into flames and then gave birth to itself in air.
Oh, wow.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
I've never seen
that
before.
That's the new paradigm. Yes.
The paradigm is just you're transforming on the wing. Let me write that down.
Well, and this is all within 2 minutes of us hanging up. It's all archived, so if you need to come back.
Transforming on the wing. Cool. Write that down.
You are cool, Anthony. I love this. Thank you, elders.
And then what lots of times what I see and what they reveal to me is just images. And so I'm seeing this image of a mountain. I'm seeing this image of a cave. There's a light like a sun that's rising behind the mountain. That's rising, you know, like the dawn of a new day, so to speak. And that's coming through with the energy, the elder of Earth. Woo.
Okay.
Okay. I was just told that I need to come visit. They have something to share.
Oh, nice. Not tonight?
Not tonight,
at this moment?
Not tonight. It's like, no,
okay. Oh, well, we'll read about it in the newsletter. If you guys want to know, sign up for the newsletter.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if it's not personal, right? I mean, if it can be shared.
Yeah, yeah. It'll come out. Something will come out.
Yeah.
And so right now what I'm asking the elder of, if the elder of air and the elder of water, if they have anything that they want to share at this time. And no, not at this time.
Okay.
But tonight it's the Earth and the Fire. The Earth and Fire show. Earth and Fire.
Well, and, you know, I can totally resonate because, you know, I remember I had a friend of mine about 5 years ago who used to say to me, like, what I did with Lisa is the minute that wisdom came to me, that it was a paradigm, that it was not a timeline, so to speak, that I'm following, I don't need to discredit her or to bash her.
No.
I stopped being a member. I canceled my session. I had a friend of mine about 5 years ago go, you know, you dive in to these, you know, subjects and beliefs, and then like the next day you're done with it. You know, you're switching it. And he was like, he goes, you're not committed. And I was like, no, that's not the truth. I said, I'm totally committed, but I don't hold on to it. If I'm committed to the experience until the experience says we're done. It's not mine anymore.
It's not. It's like for you. It's not for you to be committed to a particular teacher or a particular course of study. You're committed to your journey and your journey, and that's why you have one of the names. You have the name of a bird. It's because you're going to fly here, get what you need, and fly on. Get what you need and fly on. And then and the whole time you're sharing. You're receiving and you're sharing. But it's not for you to get rooted in a particular subject or a particular teacher. That's not your calling.
Right on. And that has been and that's another thing that now that I look back, I understand better, where at the time it's like, you know, there were people that would get their Reiki attunement and just, you know, just blow up with it. You know, it just became their business cards and their healing and their work and their clients. And, you know, and I could do it, but I was already, you know, in a couple of months moving on to the next healing modality or whatever it was. I've just, exactly like you said, I'm even in relationships in the sense of I've never really felt the need to, quote unquote, like get married.
No.
That's, you know what I mean? Like, I always said, first of all, be with me because you want to be with me. If you don't want to be with me, there's the door. We shouldn't need, you know, $2,000 and a lawyer to tell each other how to walk out the door. If you want to walk out the door, there's the door you can go. You know, but it's just in general things that, you know, things that made me stifled, actually, on some of them. When again?
Well, the imagery was, you know, some people are planets, and they're going to stay in a rotation. Or orbit around the sun. Some people are comets. You're a comet, so you're gonna you got to rotate. You got a path, but it just It goes from here and it goes way over there, and you do what you got to do, and then you'll come back. And then you,
right,
your path is more of a comet than a planet, or even
I
a
totally
moon.
Nice,
yeah, so
thank
that's
you.
What
you're
for. Yeah.
Nice. Right on.
Yeah.
You know, and this is where I think it's important for all of us to. You want to know who you are and what you are from yourself, not based on some sort of, you know, comparison to somebody else. There is,
right.
You don't need to compare yourself, because the beauty of it is, if we would all be authentic, every single one of us is a teacher of that authentic journey. We all have something to share, because nobody else is going to do Golden Hawk's journey, and nobody else is going to do Anthony's journey, and nobody else is going to do your journey, you know, the people listening, except you. And I promise you, that's a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Is if you're experiencing it, somebody would want to hear about it, whether it's in a blog or a radio show or just talking to your friends on the telephone, whatever. It, you know, sharing our journey is about, and truly, that's why teaching isn't about how many letters we have after our names, and because that's all that the whole that's like people trying to tell us their, you know, how to, you know, like what. Western civilization doesn't make sense to me in a lot of. I mean, like, I got my early childhood education or associate's degree, and I was like, okay. And, you know, my father, who is, you know, a retired Jewish businessman, so you're going to go and get your PhD. It's like, I've been such a disappointment to him on so many levels. It's like, no, Dad. You know, it's like I'm happy because I basically went to college when I first left the whole drug world. And I loved it because it clearly organized me in academics, in school. You know what I mean? It helped me restructure my life from being up all night to waking up early in the morning. And, you know, just it restructured me. And I happen to be very good. I can memorize stuff. So it's easy for me to do well in school because the schooling system is really just a game of memory. They're not really looking for critical thinking. They're really not. But once I did that and I kind of cleared myself, it's like, now, you know, my schooling never stopped. It's just the academics through a college. You know, it's like I follow channelers and teachers of other natures and shamans and, you know, my own intuition. But,
right.
You know, again, see, I got the associate's degree. Okay, I've had enough of this. Time to move in. We'll move on. That's awesome, though. I love the idea of being a comet. I'm going to meditate on that tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. See where that takes you.
Indeed. I'll share it with you either through Facebook or the next time you're on. Definitely. Because that is, I mean, when you said it, I was, wow, that just immediately rang truth. Big time. All right. Well, we still have like 5 minutes left. Well, if there's a caller would like to call in and do a quick question.
Somebody's got a question. That's what I was told. Somebody's got a question. I don't know who it is.
Okay. 646-929-2084 and press 1. So indeed, share. Don't, you know, be courageous, come on the air, speak a question. I promise you, more than likely, the question you're asking is probably on several people's minds, and it will be able to, it's your contribution to helping, you know, other people listening that might have the same question. And I got to get I've set an intention for myself to get better, to try and get more people interacting with the calls. You know, I'm a work in progress. You know, and it's the beautiful part is, like, you know, I have several people that follow me, and they've been following me for a while, and, you know, they don't ask of any change in the sense of, you're not doing this good, Goldie. They're just like, you just keep sharing the way you're sharing, and, you know, evolve as you must, but it's all good as you want.
Right. I love it.
Yeah, that's a beautiful, beautiful space to be in.
I love it.
Beautiful space.
Somebody wants to know, maybe it could be my own.
Oh, okay. You want to, awesome. Yes, if you can pick up on it, that would be
it's
outstanding.
Like, where did I get started? And I don't know if we touched on this the last time I was here or not. I have no idea.
Nor do I.
For me, the journey, I've always felt that I was different. Didn't know what to call it, but always felt I was different. Just saw things a little differently than most people, kept it to myself. But I was maybe 15, 20 years, I can't remember how long ago it was, but I would go to therapists.
Okay.
And I would go into therapy and would talk with the people about what was going on. And then I would sit there and, you know, kind of figure out what their issues were.
I love it. You're such an indigo, my friend. Yes, I totally get that.
And finally, one of the therapists gave me this book that it was entitled Spiritual Emergence. And it talks about, you know, if you're having these experiences in your life, if you're having this, you're having that, dreams and unexplained situations, you may not be experiencing anything psychological. You may be experiencing your spirit emerging. And I looked at the book and I was reading some of the things and I'm going, I'm having this, these dreams, I'm having that, I'm having this. And it's like, well, maybe I'm not crazy. Maybe there's something else going on. And then I had this, the one dream I can remember where I was driving down the road with somebody. We pulled into this big white country house. We get out, we go into the first floor, and then I go up to the second floor. And the person who was with me stayed on the first floor. Well, I just made the connection of what that meant. And I went up to the second floor. And in the second floor, it became a barn. And it had all these animals around. And this presence came up to me and said, and the essence wanted to connect with me. And of course, I was afraid because, you know, if it wasn't Jesus, then something was wrong with you. I was going to the devil.
Oh, okay.
But I went along with it. And after that, I would have all these dreams, just constant dreams and old people in my life showing up and people I hadn't seen in years and thought about, these constant dreams. And then I kept seeing the eye of Horus.
Okay.
I would
yeah,
see that floating around the bedroom.
Oh, wow.
And I told a friend of mine what was going on, and he said, you know, that was an initiation. And I said, to what? He said,
No,
that was an initiation, what you had. And that's what, I think that was the experience that I can pinpoint that started me to, on the spiritual path. And I started to look at things differently and not see myself as possibly crazy, but there's something else going on. I may not know exactly what it is, but there's something else going on and something positive and something beautiful. And I don't have the words for it, but there's something going on. And that's when my journey began. And then I started, you know, exploring shamanism and meditation, and then that led to spiritual life coaching, and then that led to realizing that I was intuitive, and then that led to giving readings for people, and then that led to conversations with the elders, and you know, and so on and so forth and so on. But it started with, there's something about me. And I'm not quite sure what it is, but let me go figure this out. Let me go find somebody that can answer some questions.
Right, right.
But finding your own path. Finding your own path.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think that's imperative. I could not agree more. You are just absolutely, I'm smitten with you, Anthony.
I am.
Thank you. My pleasure. I mean, I love and that you're a frequent guest, and you just, you know, I can pop in and say, hey, you want to come on the show this week? And if you can, you can. If you can't, always know it's okay. But I'll be coming back for more invitations. And
I love it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Oh, me too. Your work is fabulous. Okay, one more time. Let's give your websites out so people know where to find you. What is the name that you have? I don't have it up. Are you Reverend Anthony Farmer on Facebook?
I am Anthony Farmer on Facebook.
Okay.
Now, there are two of us, actually. I have a cousin who's Anthony Farmer. But I'm Anthony Farmer, and my picture is me in a purple robe.
Yep. Okay, good.
So if you find me on Facebook, and then you find my website is RevAnthonyFarmer.com. RevAnthonyFarmer.com, and then it has the links to other stuff, the conversations with the elders and all of that, too.
Yeah, I highly, highly recommend the conversation with elders. I'm telling you, what I was going through this week with the whole Lisa stuff, Anthony's share was that, you know, he was in some confusion, a state of confusion. And
yes.
It's just universal. The stuff that we're sharing is it's personal and universal. And,
yes.
You know, that's the beauty of the share, is that we're all kind of helping each other awaken through our own experiences and then sharing it. It's brilliant, as are we. So thank you so much for coming on. I love you.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you. Yes, I'm very happy of the relationship we are creating here. Very, very happy. I adore our shows. Absolutely adore them. And like I said, I don't know who's on next week, but the 11th. Okay, that gentleman that I spoke of, which I can't remember his name, about the son who died and they wrote the book, he'll be on the 11th next week. Actually, he's not booked yet, so I'll figure out something. I love you all. Have an amazing week, and, you know, keep on flying because the Phoenix is now able to shift as we fly.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. All right. I love you all. And I love you, Anthony, and I'll speak to everybody soon.
Peace and blessings.
Namaste. Peace and blessings.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.
Love Talk Radio.